Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Murat. Today we are in our 31st study through the book of Deuteronomy. We come to Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we pick up our study today in verse 15. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are studying today together in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 21, verse 15. God is talking to the Israelites about life in the Holy Land before they enter into that place, and he wants to lay down the law and give them rules and regulations for their lives, for their government and everything else, so that they could be blessed. And that is what the law of God is all about. And we pick up our study in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 21. God says, if a man has two wives, and he loves one, but not the other, and both bear him sons, but the firstborn is the son of the wife he does not love. Now, just stop there for a second. God never approved of having two wives. But he knew that sinful man would do it anyway. And as a result, God gave rules intended to lessen the confusion and to maintain some form of family order, even within the context of disobedience. And that's how much God cares for us, that he would go to that degree, that extent, to maintain some sort of family order. It's not the best, but it's better than nothing. 16. He says, when he wills his property to his sons, he must not give the rights of the firstborn to the son of the wife he loves in preference to his actual firstborn, the son of the wife he does not love. In other words, God is saying, don't give undue preference to the children of the wife you like best. This is about doing what is right and just within the context of the family, regardless of feelings. That is the issue here. 17. He must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of the firstborn belongs to him. And God is the one who established this so-called right of the firstborn to get a double share of the inheritance. And so regardless how the father feels about the boy's mother, give him the inheritance of the firstborn if he is the firstborn. You know, that is like God is saying right here, that firstborn, that was the first evidence that God had given this father the power to reproduce. And that's why the firstborn received special treatment. Verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him. And so this guy is a real rebel. He breaks the commandments of God, and he doesn't obey his parents, and he just keeps on doing what he shouldn't do, and he doesn't do what he should do. And the parents have tried disciplining him, and that didn't work either. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, God says in verse 19, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. And there would no doubt involve the use of force here. No question about that, because I'm sure the son would not go willingly. But the son has not only disobeyed his parents, he has broken the law of the land, and he has shown absolutely no regard for the law of God. God says, have him arrested. That is the commandment. 20. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. In other words, he is all bad, and we can't do anything with him. We've tried. Nothing seems to work. 21. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Of course, it is a given that this man was tried, and then if convicted, and he still didn't show any remorse or any desire to repent, well, at that point, he was executed. Now, this is not a 5-year-old boy who sometimes didn't pick up his toys. That's not the stubborn and rebellious son here. This is someone who has reached the age of accountability, which for a Jew, according to some, was 12 years old, old enough to know better, and older. He has reached the age of accountability. He is a hardcore, impenitent sinner. Verse 22. If a man guilty of a capital offense is put to death and his body is hung on a tree. They didn't execute criminals in Israel by hanging them. They hung them after they were executed. But God says, if you do that, verse 23, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. You must not desecrate the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. A hanged man is an ugly thing to God. It is an ugly thing to anybody, but it is a very ugly thing to God, because remember, that man hanging on the tree, that criminal who was executed for his sin, that's someone who was created by God for God's glory and in God's image. And it was an insulting thing to God and to his work of creation to leave a dead body of a human being on display. The Lord says, give him a decent burial. Put him out of sight. Chapter 22, verse 1. If you see your brother's ox or sheep straying, do not ignore it, but be sure to take it back to him. In other words, when you can do someone a favor, then do it. Don't pretend that you didn't see your opportunity. Don't look the other way. Verse 2. If the brother does not live near you, or if you do not know who he is, take it home with you and keep it until he comes looking for it. Then give it back to him. Now, God didn't expect you to drop everything that you were doing and just go out looking for the owner of something that was lost. But what he did expect was that you would take it home and take care of it as if it was your own and wait for the owner to come and claim it. Verse 3. Do the same if you find your brother's donkey or his cloak or anything he loses. Do not ignore it. And it is not finders keepers, according to God. It is finders keep it until you can return it to the owner. Take care of it until you find the owner or the owner finds you. God is saying this. And this is the important thing. Watch out for each other. Take care of each other, just as you would care for yourself. 4. If you see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. Help him get it to its feet. And again, it's the idea of giving someone a helping hand. Now, women and girls and children in general need to be very careful today about who they offer help to, because there's a lot of crazies out there who will hurt them. But again, the principle is the thing that we can hang on to, and the principle is this: be helpful. Whenever it is possible, be helpful. Verse 5. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Now, this does not mean that a woman cannot wear slacks. What it is talking about is women who dress in a way that a man dresses in order to look like a man, or men dressing like women in order to look like women. The point is, God designed men to be men and women to be women. And it's not normal when men talk and act like women, or when women talk and act like men. You know, when you run across somebody like that and it just rubs you the wrong way and you think, boy, that's not normal. The reason that you think that is because God says it's not normal. It isn't normal. And people who accept that as normal, well, they are so far from the truth and so far from God's standards that you have to be in order to accept that as normal. Now, in the United States, you have the freedom to be any way you want to, but don't try to tell God's people that that's normal, or force them to say that it's normal, because it isn't. And God says it isn't, and it's not even right. Verse 6, if you come across a bird's nest beside the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or on the eggs, do not take the mother with the young. God gave this law to preserve the species. You know, if you're going to take the young, then leave the mother so that she can produce more. Man has been given dominion over God's creation here on earth, which includes caring for it. 7. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go, so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. You know, that little bird, or whatever the animal might be, means an awful lot to God. But the main issue here is this: we should show grace and kindness as our Creator does. Verse 8. When you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof, so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. People used their flat roofs like a living room back in those days. God says, make sure your house is a safe place to be. You know, notice how God's law is so relevant. It is timeless. The principles are timeless. And God is saying, if we neglect safety issues and someone gets hurt as a result, then we are at least partly to blame for it. 9. Do not plant two kinds of seed in your vineyard. If you do, not only the crops you plant, but also the fruit of the vineyard will be defiled, and I have no idea why. Maybe if there's a farmer listening to this message, you can write me and fill me in on why you think it was wrong to do this. I don't know why God forbid planting, say, wheat and barley together, but he did. And it's not important that I understand it. All I know is, if I was a farmer, I wouldn't do it, because God had some reason for this command, and someday we will know what it is. 10. Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. An ox was a clean animal. A donkey was an unclean animal. And this is God's symbolic way of saying, do not be joined to an unbeliever if you are a believer. Those two animals, They are different in strength and different in speed, and it wouldn't be right to force them to work together as a team. It would be awkward. And in the same way, a Christian and a non-Christian are going to be very different as well. Different priorities, different standards. And it would not be good to hitch them together, either in marriage or even as business partners, if you're talking about shared ownership of some business. We'll stop there for today. Until next time, Mike Moret here. So long, everyone.